We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, I think that's chapter 2 we're going to be in. I think I wrote it wrong. And it's chapter 2. Why did I write that? And I saw it written there and I thought, that didn't sound right. It's on the wrong side of the page. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And finish up Philippians. Hope you received a lot from that book as I did studying it. I'm going to start a kind of a strange series here, and it's going to be a two-part series, but it's going to be several lessons. And it's the first part of the series is things we don't know. Things we don't know. After a while, I think it'll switch to a Sunday series on things we do know. Because there's a lot we do know, and there's whole books of the Bible written to know things, but there's things we don't know. And I really, as I've preached on Sunday morning, that message on Sunday morning had a big impact on me. I don't know if it impacted anybody else as much as it did me, but on Job. But one of the things that's so interesting is that it's just we have a real problem with having to know. We are like the Inquirer logo, inquiring minds want to know. So I hope you don't read that, but that's kind of how we are. We are constantly in this state of why? I got to know it. And there's just things we don't know. And so I want to talk about things we don't know a little bit, and there's reasons we don't know. And this will probably be, I'd guess, 4 or 5 sermons, lessons on why things we don't know. Because I think that matters, what you don't know, because some things you aren't supposed to know. And some things you cannot comprehend, and there's other lessons. Tonight we're not talking about that. Tonight I'm talking about what we don't know, and that's how good heaven is. How good heaven is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I want to say it, and I want to say it often, our wisdom is not the wisdom of this world. Because the world thinks it's cool, because the world thinks it's the way, because the world thinks it's right, doesn't mean it's right. It is not the same wisdom. And many, many churches are using the world's wisdom, and many Christians quote the world's wisdom. God's wisdom is backward. The first shall be last. He that humble themselves shall be exalted. The greatest among you is servant. God does not think like this world. And so that's the kind of wisdom we get, is the Lord's wisdom. And we want to have God's wisdom. And so he says, we speak a different wisdom. And in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. Man can study all they want. It's not man's knowledge. It's the Spirit of God only who can reveal the things of God. Let's pray. We'll talk about not knowing how good heaven is. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the chance to teach this passage. There's a lot in here, Father, and we won't get to all of it, but we pray everything we need in the passages we get to tonight, I pray would be clear to us. And I pray through this lesson we'd actually love heaven more. Because I think that's kind of your will for this thought. Speak to us. We just read how only the Holy Spirit knows the things of the Spirit. And 2 or 3 verses down, it's going to tell us, Father, that only the Spirit can reveal them to us. And I pray you'd reveal these things to us and help us understand your truth tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In understanding this passage, there's kind of levels of understanding. There's people who quote the verses we just read, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He will say, we don't have any idea how great heaven is, and we don't even know what it's going to be like there. That's not actually a proper interpretation. Because the next verse said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So God has revealed what is in heaven by the Holy Spirit. However, that does not change the fact that eye hath not seen, nor ear hath not heard, the things which God has prepared in heaven. Did you follow what I just said there? So God's revealed them to us, and we know what's in heaven. It's just nobody's ever seen anything like it before. That makes sense? And I'm afraid this message is going to be really short. And when I prepared it, it's short. I told my wife on the way in, this is going to be a short message tonight. But that's the message. Okay, let's pray. No, we're not going to do it that quick. And I got to justify your fees. And heaven, we know a lot about what heaven's like. Bible tells us a whole bunch of things. But they are revealed unto us. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But verse 9, it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, there's nothing on earth like heaven. Now, there are some great pleasures on earth. And there's a lot of them. And we'll talk about that. But there's no pleasure on earth that's ever anywhere near what heaven's going to be like. So there's facts of heaven. God has revealed them unto us. What is heaven like? Well, I can tell you the facts about heaven. Let me give you a bunch of facts about heaven God's revealed. First of all, heaven is a place where Jesus is. He says in John 14, verse 3, that where I am, there ye may be also. I think it's verse 3. We know heaven is where Jesus is. Okay, no problem. We got that. We know heaven is a house. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So it's a big place where God dwells. It's God's house. Heaven is God's house. Inside that house, we know there's many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. So heaven is a house where God dwells with many mansions, where Jesus is. So we know heaven. We know what it's like, kind of. We got a pretty good idea. Psalm 16:11 says, in heaven is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we know it's a place with fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We know, according to Matthew 5:12, rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. All over the Bible, we find out there's rewards in heaven. And great rewards. Romans 8:19, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we know there's great rewards, and rewards for every single thing we do. We know that. There's the facts of heaven. Bible says you can't give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet without receiving a prophet's reward. So we know there's great rewards for everything we do. He keeps our tears in a bottle. So we know it's a place of all kinds of reward, fullness of joy. Let's go to Revelation 21. This is probably the passage that talks the most about heaven. Heaven's called New Jerusalem. It's a city. We know the size of it. It's 1,500 feet wide, 1,500 feet long, and 1,500 feet high. We know its size. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of God, from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So we're going to be with God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So God will walk up and wipe away tears from our eyes. That's what he's going to do. That's going to happen to you and I. And so we know that's going to happen in heaven. And there shall be no more death, okay? There's another thing about heaven, no more death. And that sounds really good. But that's kind of hard to comprehend. And there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow. That is not easy to comprehend at all. But we know in heaven there's going to be no more sorrow. That's a fact of heaven. That's what it's going to be like. So we understand, we know that. That's a description. Nor crying, okay? No more crying there. It means no babies and no sad movies and all kinds of things that cry. And neither shall there be any more pain. Okay, that's a good fact. We know that. Amen. That's a good thing. For the former things are passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." So everything's new in heaven. I like that. And I think the more I live and the more I see pain of earth and bad memories, I like, "Behold, I make all things new." And that's what it's like. And he said to me, "Right, for these words are true and faithful." So that's what heaven's like. So do we know what's in heaven? Got a pretty good picture there. It's a city. We know the size of it. We know there's mansions in it. We know God's there. We know that we will have no more tears, nor sorrow, nor pain. Neither should be any more death. And former things are passed away. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And we'll be in a mansion, and we'll be with God, and we'll have fullness of joy forevermore. That's what heaven's like. So God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, right? But I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. Just taking a fact, a simple fact like this, there's no more pain. Can you comprehend no more pain? You know, one of the hardest things about heaven to comprehend for me is eternity. I mean, to think that here's the thing. You know, when you're on vacation and it's a really good vacation, you go, "Oh no, I've only got 5 more days left." Or when things are going really good, you say, but in heaven, you're like, "This is so, I can't be any happier. My face is going to break if I smile any bigger." And you think, this is never going to end. And in a million years, and we'll be there 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun, and we've no less days of seeing God's praise than when he first begun. I can't comprehend eternity. I can't comprehend, okay, now I've been here for eternity. No, you never get to there. I mean, we're going to be there for trains and trains and trains of years, and still, and times no more. We can't even comprehend that. But we understand it's going to happen, right? We just can't. Our senses don't go there. My wife, her mom took her and her sister to Hawaii, and they didn't take me, and I'm not bitter about that, but it is kind of strange you'd not invite me, and that's okay. I just go overseas to go, you know, eat terrible food and be too hot and be miserable and travel around in bad vehicles and stuff like that, and I'll just go overseas and do it for Jesus and not be bitter that they didn't take me to Hawaii. No. But they went to Hawaii. The funniest thing was, they're going to go in January, and she says, "You know, we're going to take you to Boston." And somehow I made the suggestion, "Why don't you ask her if you can go to Hawaii instead?" And the mom said, "You don't want to, you want to go to Hawaii than Boston?" And they laughed their heads off at her. And so they ended up in Hawaii. And Hawaii in January or Boston. And so anyway, they went to Boston. And she came back, and the thing she loved was snorkeling. And I guess there's this area of snorkeling, and there's turtles, and there's fish and all kinds of things. And she just, "Honey, it is the funnest thing I've ever been. It's the most incredible thing I've ever." What about being with me? And "Honey, I can't, I mean, I swam around and there's this turtle. I followed around and I touched it. I found out I could have went to prison for 80 years for that." And she took pictures with an underwater camera, which it leaked and didn't work. And I saw this and I saw that. And the water's different. You kind of float and it's da-da-da-da-da. And she raved about it. I said, "That sounds fun." "No, you don't understand. It's not fun. It is the most incredible thing you could ever imagine." I said, "Well, my only experience overseas is driving across rivers in a big four-wheel drive truck when it's 900 degrees. That's all I get to do with water when I'm on overseas." But I said, "Sounds fun. But it's, I guess you had to be there." Right? I mean, it sounds fun, but how do you explain how fun it was to float around and snorkel? How many of you have snorkeled before in a serious way? Oh, wow. Good. Nobody else has had her joy. So I've been to Hawaii too, on a way in a mission ship. I was stayed in the airport the whole time, both directions. And I got to see the little guard in the middle of the airport. That was pretty. So I can't comprehend that. It was an amazing experience. As a matter of fact, you ever experience something you really like and you try to describe it and nobody understands? I went at the mountains, I don't know. This has been a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I went to the mountains and it was a bad weather day. And I went, and where I ended up being, there was, I was going to parked, and there was kind of a cliff that went way down, but I was in a real high spot. And it was blowing like crazy, and I'm watching these trees just going, and it was blowing. And I was kind of looking around, and I went to the edge of this cliff. Kind of, it wasn't straight down, but it's kind of a steep hill. And I thought, man, this is an incredible view. I could see forever, every direction. I'm so high. But then I looked up, and I thought, if I got to the top of that tree, I could really see far. And you got to understand, there's something about me and my kids almost all got this. Is it's not that we're not afraid of heights. We love heights. We love to stand on edges. We love being up high. It is just, it's great. We love heights. So I climb up this tree, big old giant fir tree, get to the very top. And you know the coolest thing in the world? The tree, you would do not imagine how much a fir tree can bend. They're very flexible trees. That's why when you see a big storm, everything blown down is deciduous. Our firs don't blow down because they bend and they give a whole bunch. And I climbed way up the top of this tree till it was about this big up, and I'm sitting on this tree there, and the wind is blowing me. I am going probably 5 feet this direction. And you wouldn't believe the noise it makes up there. And I'm up there looking, and I can see the snow. I can see Mount Rainier. I can see every direction. And I'm with the trees below and back and forth. And looking, I thought, this is the coolest thing ever. How many don't think that's cool? How many think that'd be cool? And no one understood how cool that was and tried to describe it. You just can't call it just, because you've never done that, because you're not nuts like I am. You done it? See there? That's a man right there. You're a boy, okay. I was old and still did it. That's a dumb thing. And so I can just tell you what I just did, but can you comprehend how that felt and smelt and sounded? I mean, you can think about it, but you weren't really there. You didn't do it. Though you can understand it, and though it's in a physical sense, you might be able to understand it, because you weren't there, you really can't understand it because you haven't seen anything like that. Maybe you haven't done anything like that. And that's how experiences are. Most things that are incredible, you cannot explain. Total comprehension comes by experience. I cannot explain the joy of holding a newborn baby to somebody. When you love kids and your wife just had a baby and you get to hold a child, it's from you. If you never had a baby, you don't know that feeling. I could say, well, you're holding this little 7-pound raisin and it's cute and it's crying and it's screaming and they're going, that doesn't sound very fun. But there's a joy of, wow, I'm a dad, that is so rich and full. But unless you've ever done that, you might just say, that sounds okay. But there's certain things in life. And think of things you like in life and try and explain to somebody who's never experienced it before. Like, let's say I try to explain to somebody how good cookies are when you dip them in milk. And that, by the way, is near to by heaven right there. I mean, cookies are good, but when you get cookies and you dip them in milk, there's just something about that. Milk is not that good and cookies aren't that good, but together, oh man. And you get a chocolate chip cookie or a good peanut butter cookie, and you get some milk and you dip that thing in there till it's kind of soft. You eat it and it just melts in your mouth, or even an Oreo tastes good and you eat it. How many people are hungry? All right. And you eat it and you're, oh, that taste and the chocolate chips in there. But you know, they're going to say, okay, that sounds kind of good, but they're not going to understand. See, you don't understand, because how do you describe how good a chocolate chip cookie dipped in milk tastes? You cannot explain it. You just have to experience it. So if somebody will bring some next week, I will show you. And then experience it. But you can't explain that thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Watch where... let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation first. Revelation chapter 2. So here's what I think happens in Revelation 2. in Revelation chapter 2, I think God is going down and saying, I want to describe to them the blessings they get if they overcome. But you know what? They aren't going to have any idea just how cool that is. Because to be honest with you, I look at some of the rewards that overcomers get, and some of them are incredible, and some of them are going like, I guess you'll have to be there. But I think God is saying, no, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to love it. But let's look at some of these things. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, that tree will make you live forever. But what's it taste like? I mean, okay, I'll get to eat the tree. But in our sense, it's almost like, it sounds crazy, but if I said, I am going to take whoever wants to tonight out to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, you can order whatever you want. I think because of our senses, we'd be more excited. Right? Because that's the way we are. Because heaven's things are so far away, though they're revealed to us, we do not understand and cannot understand. We cannot understand how good heaven is. Let's look at verse 10. And it says, fear none of those things which shall come upon you. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, and be thou faithful unto death, and have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. Now, crown sounds pretty cool. I've never wore a big crown except for from Burger King. And at camp, I think I wore one. But, you know, crown of life, that sounds kind of cool. But I think we're going to get there, and the ones who are wearing the crowns of life, or get a cast image at Jesus' feet in Revelation 4, I think they are going to say, this crown of life is better than anything the entire earth in all of its days and all the time on earth couldn't touch having a crown of life. But to our senses, though we know we can earn a crown of life, do we sit here and say, oh, I'm going to get a crown of life? No, we say, my vacation starts in 7 days. School ends in 11 days. I'm getting married in 4 days. And we get excited about things that we understand in our comprehension. We don't look forward to the things of heaven. We cannot understand how good it is. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Now God's saying, you get to eat of the hidden manna. We're saying, what's it taste like? Okay, I like bread. And I'll give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. So if you overcome, you get a white rock. And on that white rock, there's a special name that you get from God written in it. I have a feeling if we earn that, we'll get a white rock and we'll say, the name you get, this name, the name he will give us such incredible joy. It's a separate treasure mentioned in heaven. And do I understand getting some special name from God? I found special names for people mean a lot to them. I have given so many bus riders names over the years. I mean, I give them, and you know what? They like the, and I mean all kind. I can give you 10,000 names just to give a special name that I call them by every single time. And sometimes I use a certain accent with them. Sometimes it's goofy. And I used to have a girl named Otten and Jelly, and I used to call her Butter and Jelly. And I have 10,000 names I call people. When Abigail, every time she got on the bus, or when she got on the bus, say, by Abby, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and I'd go the whole alphabet every single time. Abby, C, D, E, F, G. You get it? No. Okay. And so I would go, and so I think they like those nicknames. They like when I call them the silly name. And what's so big about, okay, you're going to take Bible space to tell me I'm going to rock with my name on, with a special name on it. Okay, we understand that fact. God's going to give me a special name just for me if I earn this thing. But what is it like? I mean, a rock with my name on it. I can. Okay. So I had not seen what it feels like to get the rewards of heaven. We cannot understand it because eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it. We use our senses understand it. Now, the closer we get to God, we get more spiritual, and the Spirit understands these things, as the Bible says. But let's go to 2 Corinthians now, and I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians and read you some verses here. Chapter 12 and verses 1 through 6. Most things that are incredible you cannot explain. Total comprehension comes only by experience. And you know what the great thing is? We can enjoy it when we get there. If you're a curious, adventurous person, you can kind of say, this is going to be fun to see what's so great about these things. Well, I'm really curious what's so great about the stone, the crown, what's so great about these things. In other words, you're looking forward to just finding out why is this so incredible and how do you have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, watch what Paul experienced. Paul maybe got a little taste of heaven here. In verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He says, I don't know if I was in the body or not, but I saw these things. How he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, and yet not of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He says, you know, the things that I saw with this man, and I don't know if I was in my body or if I was just there, I cannot. It's unlawful. It's wrong for me to tell you what I saw. Why? We don't exactly know, but it's really beyond what we can understand. And heaven's so good that there's things that God doesn't want to tell us. And marriage is a little like that, with a great marriage and trying to explain to people how great your marriage is and trying to explain to your kids how good marriage is going to be. But we cannot know it. So what do? We got to have the hope, the Bible says, your next expectation. We get to know God and know how he rewards us on earth and how much we've been blessed on earth. And say, if he can bless us, if walking with God can bring this much joy and peace in my heart right now, what's it going to be like when I have fullness of joy? What's it going to be like when there's no more pain? Because earth can bring some pretty good pleasures, can it? I mean, there's a lot of things in life. Because I don't think in life, earth is terrible. I mean, I know there's suffering and pain and bad things happen to people and bad things will happen to me and I'll die and all that stuff and all that stuff. I understand that, but in a nation like America, in decent times, life's not bad. And there's a lot of, I mean, I can really enjoy a bacon cheeseburger and say, man, how is heaven better than this? Amen? I mean, if in a fallen world, a bacon cheeseburger tastes that good, what is heaven's food going to taste like? I mean, if being with family is so fulfilling and rich and wonderful, what's it going to be like in the family of God where all of your family is perfect? The kids will never fight. The word mine will be destroyed. Mine, mine. All those people are saying that in a different place. So we comprehend a little bit, but you know what? It's going to be fun. Curtis Hudson was a great, great evangelist. And Curtis Hudson's son, Tony, told a story about how his dad took a long time to die. He got very serious cancer and bone cancer went all throughout his body. And then just came a time where he was just coming in and out. And he woke up in the middle of that one time and told, eyes opened up real bright. He said, Tony, tell all the preachers that heaven's real. I've seen it. And he kind of went back out. And so we don't comprehend it. We don't understand how good heaven is. And so since God has not given us the senses to understand that, all I can say is, and I have always felt terrible, how am I going to describe heaven? Heaven's fullness of joy. Heaven's mansions. Well, you say, you're going to get a mansion. Somebody says, I don't want to clean it. It's too big. I mean, we think differently. We don't think in that way. What's taxes on it? I mean, that's what we think because our minds are in the earth and in shallowness. But heaven's going to be fullness of joy. I mean, you can't be any happier. And you can be pretty happy on earth. I mean, when you're eating a bacon cheeseburger and you have Oreos with milk waiting for dessert and you're in Hawaii ready to go snorkeling because your wife took you this time, you could be pretty happy on earth. I mean, what's heaven going to be like when this is a fallen, cursed world and God says, you're going to mourn down there. Wait till you get to heaven. Be awesome. And you know what? I could leave this world and be okay with it. This world's got some issues. And so we don't know how good heaven is. I hath not seen, neither ear heard. Nobody in the history of the world has ever seen anything as good as heaven. Ear hath never heard anything as good as heaven. It has not entered into the heart of man. And you know what? I can imagine a pretty happy time. How about you? Can you imagine, if you can make it the perfect day, if you can make it the perfect day, and there is no limitations to anything, you can make a pretty good day, couldn't you? Anything you can imagine, it's never entered into your heart to think of happiness on the level of heaven. And I can think of pretty good happiness. Isn't that good? So we cannot comprehend it. God's revealed it to us. And we're going to get there and say, oh, well, we'll say, why did you tell me it was this good? He said, I did. You just didn't understand. Oh, isn't it? Aren't we blessed that we cannot comprehend the kind of happiness that heaven will bring? Aren't we? Isn't that great that we're in that position? And by the way, if my best day, if I live my best day on earth for all eternity, I'll take it. I've had some good days on earth. Give me that forever. I would look forward to heaven. Matter of fact, strange enough, if my best day on earth, you would show me that would be my heaven forever, I'd probably have more affection for it because my senses comprehend that. You follow? And so that is, it's not entered in any man's heart ever. Any human's never thought of a good enough day to think about how good heaven is. It's never entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them to love them. So things we don't know, number one, we don't know how good heaven is. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, Lord. I pray that we would set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We would be looking up. And Lord, though we can't comprehend heaven, help us understand that that's good because it's better than we can comprehend. And help us to love heaven and look forward to it. We kind of know what's going to be there. We got a decent picture of it, but I think there's some things that you couldn't explain to us that are just there. But Lord, I pray we'd get our heart in heaven because we can't understand it is so good. Thank you for that truth, Lord, that you told us we can't. It's not in our comprehension, but it's good. It's beyond good. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for Jesus giving us his life so we can go there. Thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for that joy in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just briefly, I think this message is simply for you to say,